Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW, in Sitka, where it's 52 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Today is Thursday, June 21st, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. A necropsy team spent most of yesterday on the boat ramp near the University of Alaska Southeast in Sitka, working on the carcass of a male Steller's sea lion. The animal was found dead Tuesday near the Channel Club. Volunteers towed it to the ramp on Japonski Island. Juneau veterinarian Rachel Berngart worked on the animal. She says it had a flasher in its mouth and fishing line down its throat with a hook through its esophagus.
What happens then is that that creates a tract into the chest cavity or the thoracic cavity, and there shouldn't be any real communication between your esophagus and your chest cavity. But when you have a hook stuck in your esophagus, then what that does is that allows bacteria to get into your chest cavity. And so this animal had bilateral pneumonia.
Berngart says the pneumonia appears to be the cause of death. Scientists still need to look at the numerous samples taken from the sea lion to be sure. The animal also hadn't eaten in some time and had wounds on its back. Berngart says there was speculation they might have been caused by a shotgun, but upon closer examination, they were likely caused by another sea lion.
Male Steller sea lions compete for girls by fighting, and when they fight, they bite. they appear to be bite wounds that, you know, were inflicted over, you know, the past couple days to several weeks. They did have evidence of, you know, they were trying to heal, so they weren't brand new fresh wounds, but they certainly weren't, the majority of them weren't super old wounds.
As is the case for most marine mammal necropsies, several organizations participated. Representatives from the University of Alaska Southeast and the University of Alaska Fairbanks, along with the National Marine Fisheries Service, the U.S. Forest Service, the Sitka Tribe of Alaska, and the Sitka Sound Science Center contributed to the effort. If you see a marine mammal dead or in trouble, you can call a 24-hour hotline at the Alaska Sea Life Center in Seward. The number is 888-774-SEAL. That's 888-774-7325. Over 30 years ago, the Sitco River watershed on Chichagof Island was logged, damaging the local salmon habitat. Now, the U.S. Forest Service is partnering with environmental groups to restore the river, and they say the project is a perfect example of broader changes taking place on the Tongass. KCAW's Rachel Waldholtz took a walk in the water and brings us this report.
If the minnow trap is sticking straight out and it's bobbing on top of the water, it's not going to do any good. What we're looking for...
We're about 35 air miles north of Sitka, along an old logging road in the Tongass National Forest. Forest Service staff and volunteers with the Sitka Conservation Society are setting fish traps in the Sitco River. They have just a couple hours to move hundreds of fish out of a 300-yard stretch of stream, and they're taking bets on how many fish they'll catch.
222.
400.
Just about 500.
304.
In this side channel of the Sitco River, the water is about 15 feet across, and it's nearly up to my knees. But in just a few hours, there will be hardly any water here at all. That's because contractors with the U.S. Forest Service are creating a temporary dam upstream, which will redirect the water of the Sitco and allow this stream bed to dry up. And that's why they're trapping fish, mostly coho salmon fry, to move them downstream. Once it's dry, the contractors will begin work that they hope will restore this stretch of river to usable salmon habitat, repairing damage that was caused by logging over 30 years ago.
This logging road is not prime salmon habitat.
That's Perry Edwards, ecosystem staff for the Forest Service's Sitka Ranger District. He's also on our board here at KCAW. This area was logged in the 1970s and again in the 1990s. The Forest Service clear-cut about 2,800 acres. That's about a quarter of the Sitco River watershed. And they built about 30 miles of road. A section of that road is now part of the problem. It was built so close to the river that the water jumped its banks and now runs down the road instead.
It's shallow, and in the summertime, if we have a low flow, it could dry out enough to actually dry up to where the fish can't make it through and they're gonna die. In the wintertime, it's so shallow that it's going to freeze solid. Again, it's going to kill these fish.
The road isn't the only problem. In the 1970s, loggers cut right down to the stream's edge, a practice that's now illegal. That meant there were no big, old-growth trees to hold the banks in place. and it meant there were no big trees to fall across the river and create the deeper pools of slower water that salmon need to rest on their journey upstream, and to hide from predators or build their nests. And it's Forest Service hydrologist Martin Becker's job to fix that.
Approximately 274 logs, about 60 feet long, that will come up to the site.
The Forest Service is now partnering with the Sitka Conservation Society, Trout Unlimited, and the Alaska Department of Fish and Game to restore the Sitka River, in part by building structures that will mimic the natural processes of an old-growth forest.
Large wood structures will go in on the banks and in the stream to create pool habitat for fish.
Edwards says the Tongass would eventually repair itself, but this project will accelerate that.
We can speed up the forest evolution from something that may take 300 years to get old growth characteristics to maybe, say, 90 to 100 years to get some of those old growth characteristics.
The restoration represents a dovetailing of interests for the Forest Service and the Sitka Conservation Society, who have not always seen eye to eye. Now the two groups collaborate closely on some projects, and the SCS is pushing the Forest Service to shift priorities on the Tongass and manage the forest for salmon, not timber.
It's a cultural shift for the Forest Service, and it's something different than the legacy of their organization.
Andrew Tomes is the executive director of the Sitka Conservation Society.
Little by little, the agency is getting their head around the fact that one of the most important commodities and products and environmental services that comes out of the Tongass National Forest is salmon, and that investing in projects like this that restore salmon habitat is economically and socially beneficial for all the communities that live in the region.
The Forest Service may not be moving as fast as SCS would like, but it's in the midst of its own transition. Wayne Owen is the Forest Service Alaska Director for Wildlife, Fisheries, Ecology, and Watersheds.
The Forest Service is trying to broaden the economic base of Southeast Alaska, and timber is an important part of that.
Owen says that under the Obama administration, the agency has committed to restoration projects like this one, and is moving from a single-minded focus on old-growth harvest to a larger agenda.
Fish is the lifeblood, the economic base of the Alaska, Southeast Alaska. I like to tell people that Southeast Alaska is the fish basket of North America.
The Sitka River project fits neatly within that agenda. So in early June, the Forest Service flew a bunch of reporters in from Juneau to show off their work. The timing was lucky. The contractors cut off the water flow midday with a giant aqua dam, basically a long water-filled bladder that stretches across the river. The dam does its job well. Pretty soon, the water level downstream is dropping fast. Here's what the stream sounded like before the dam. And here's what it sounds like after. So it's time to catch those fish and move them downstream.
Coho, coho. Coho, coho.
The final count was 653. And if the project goes well, a decade from now, there will be many more fish in this river. In Sitka, I'm Rachel Waldholz.
The U.S. House version of a bill giving land to Sea Alaska Corporation passed earlier this week. It's one of two versions of legislation that would complete the regional Native Corporation's land selection. But as APRN's Peter Granitz reports from Capitol Hill, the vote is just one of many steps the bill needs to clear Congress.
This is the furthest along the legislative process the Sea Alaska bill has made it. It passed the Republican-controlled House with 232 votes, including 16 Democrats. The bill would transfer control of tens of thousands of acres of the Tongass from the U.S. Forest Service to the Sea Alaska Corporation, the final regional Native corporation to settle its land claims. The land is outside the plots originally agreed to in the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act 40 years ago. Some of the land will be used for logging, with some future sites left open to other possible ventures. Those future sites have Andy Burgess worried. She's with the Alaska Wilderness League.
There is no prohibition on what can be done at these sites.
Those sections of land could be parceled off as heritage sites or designated for money-making projects like ecotourism. While her fears may be stoked by the bill's passage in the House, it still has some way to go before it becomes law. The bill needs to clear the Senate, and if its current pace there is any indication, that probably won't come quickly. Senator Lisa Murkowski introduced her version into committee last year, but has yet to receive a markup, let alone a vote. Aides to Murkowski say it's possible the House vote will speed along the process, at least out of committee, but the full Senate is another story. Murkowski's plan is more scaled back than the House version.
To have limited impact into those old growth areas, to have limited impact into the areas around watershed, and that's why we've gone through this negotiated process.
She says that process has taken years, years of negotiations with Sea Alaska, the U.S. Forest Service, and Southeast residents. And those negotiations could make for a more pleasing bill for both parties in the Senate. And while Young's bill did earn some Democratic votes, it lost more Republicans, a sign it could be hard to move his version down the line. Senator Murkowski says the chairman of the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, Jeff Bingaman, has not committed to another hearing on the bill, but she's trying.
We keep sitting down, and I suppose that that the fact that we're still talking about it is good.
These days at the Capitol, that small step in the right direction can be counted as a victory. In Washington, D.C., I'm Peter Granitz.
Representatives of a cruise ship destination near Hoonah say a day for neighbors will be held on Saturday to celebrate the 100th anniversary of a cannery that was later transformed into the current tourist attraction. Residents of Juneau and Gustavus can buy round-trip tickets for catamaran transportation to and from Icy Strait Point. Fishermen who once delivered fish to the cannery will discuss those days during a lunchtime event at the Cookhouse Restaurant. The cruise port is owned by the Village Native Corporation for Hoonah, a largely Tlingit community of 765 people. Icy Strait Point occasionally holds Neighbors Day events. Icy Strait Point buildings were transformed from the Hoonah Packing Company cannery that was built in 1912 and operated until 1953. Icy Strait Point opened in 2004. Patchy fog this morning, scattered showers, highs around 60. This is KCAW in Sitka.